from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright. Welcome back to Kennedy Classics, a media outreach of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Please make sure to visit our ministry website where you can find a terrific collection of digital audio, video, and print resources. It's all at djkm.org.
Does the Bible teach socialism? What would you say to those who claim it does? You'll find the answers in the booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism? From the new Truth in Action Question and Answer Series. This 8-page booklet lays out the arguments on both sides in a clear and concise way. It gives you the biblical talking points to be able to answer those who claim the Bible mandates socialism. To get your copy, please call, write, or go online. And be sure to include a generous donation towards the ongoing work of this ministry. And we'll send you the new Truth in Action Q&A booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism?
Some would say life's great questions are, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And why am I here? If you think about it, these four questions are highly interrelated. And as you may have noticed, three of them are what philosophers like to call existential questions. Questions about the essence of our being, epitomized by the question, who am I? But one of the questions stands apart from all the others. It is the question, why am I here? Well, you may be one of those who have a well-defined sense of purpose in your life, but as Dr. Kennedy is about to explain, you need not worry about coming up with an answer to the question, why am I here? God has already answered it for you. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with his message, God's Purpose for Your Life.
For our scripture lesson this morning, I'm going to read to you the first commandment that God gave to mankind and the last commandment that Christ gave to his church while on this earth. May we begin with the first chapter of Genesis and end with the 28th chapter of Matthew. Genesis chapter 1, and we shall begin reading with the 26th verse. May we hear the inspired word of the living God. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And may God speak to our hearts and lives this day through this portion of His holy word, and may His name evermore be praised. Amen. I have a question for you this morning, a very, very important question. And that is this: what are you living for? What is the purpose of your life? Socrates said that an unexamined life is not worth living. Well, I'm afraid the situation is more serious than that. An unexamined life might bring us into disastrous conflict with God, who calls us to examine ourselves. What is your purpose for living? What are you living for? What is the purpose, really, of your life? Now, purpose is very important. There are 8 different Greek words in the New Testament that are translated purpose. 62 times it occurs. Purpose. God acts by purpose. He is fulfilling His purposes. The angels of God act according to His purpose. We are sentient and rational creatures. We live by purpose, where animals live by instinct. We have reason and purpose. Everything we do on purpose. And when you ask somebody, why did you do that? And they say, I don't know. They're pulling your leg. Because we all do whatever we do on purpose. Now, some of those purposes may be low and mean and base, or they may be high and exalted, but we do everything we do by purpose. But most of us don't ever really examine our purposes very carefully. Those that founded this country, however, had and did and left for us a very clear record of what their purpose was. I'd like for you to hear it, because I think they had it exactly right. When all of the colonies had been established over here, they got together for the first time in 1643 and wrote what is known as the New England Confederation. And in that, they stated these words. Listen to them carefully. Whereas we all came into these parts of America for one and the same end and aim, namely, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say, we all came into this part of America for one and the same end and aim, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is that why you're here? I want you to know something. That's why I'm here. That's why I came to Fort Lauderdale. I hope it's why you're here. I would like you to see how important that is. That no matter what other minor purposes we have to have a central purpose. Something given to us by God, who is the God that is working out in everything His own purpose for this world. Well, what is that purpose that God has given us? Well, first, let me remind you, as one person said to me one time, well, I just don't know what my purpose in life should be. I haven't chosen a purpose yet. Wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. Because you shouldn't. You see, we have been sold the humanistic bill of goods that says that we are autonomous. Now, the word autonomous comes from 2 Greek words, autos, which means self, and nomos, which means law. The autonomous man is a law unto himself. He would be God. And he will have whatever purpose he decides to have. I did it my way. And that has overspread this nation like a sticky glue. And many, many people have bought into it. We are not gods. We are not autonomous. We are creatures made in the image of the Almighty God, and we have been created for His purpose, not yours and not mine. I hope that all of you get a good hold on that, because it can certainly change your life. Our founding fathers had it right, and it is astonishing. And you would never hear it in our schools. They all, from all of these colonies, came together to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's your purpose. Now, how do we do that? It's spelled out in the first and last commands that God has given, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of God's mandates for the human race. The first one given in Genesis 1:28. Both of these are printed in your bulletin, one in the preparation, the other in the text. I read both of them to you today. That God created us in His image, that we should subdue the earth and have dominion over all things in it. As the vicegerents of God, we are in His place to bring to pass His will in all of the various spheres of life. And so, the founders of this country went about fulfilling what is known as the cultural mandate by establishing godly and righteous institutions, whether they were schools or colleges or governments or whatever. They were established according to the righteous principles of God. We are told to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so, alas, we have withdrawn from that today and have for almost 100 years. The result is that into that vacuum left by Christians, unbelievers have flocked, and we have godless schools and godless colleges and godless governments as much as they've been able to, and godless entertainment and godless everything. Now, the next point that I would like to make clear is that, like a college, and the church is in some ways like a college, in a college there are two kinds of courses. There are required courses, and there are electives. Now, you can take all of the electives that you would like to take, depending upon your talents and interests and the time that you have available. But there are some required courses that you must take if you have any hopes of graduating. Imagine a student, 2 weeks before graduation, after having spent 4 years in the college, comes to the dean and says, "Dean, I've just been reading over the catalog. I never really looked at that very much before. I glanced once or twice. I know you have all of these required courses," it says. I said I was majoring in engineering. And this says something about needing all this mathematics. Oh, I didn't take any mathematics. I took basket weaving, Chinese art, modern dance, rock and roll in the 60s. But I never got around this math and then all these science courses. I mean, really? But, Dean, I want you to know it is really very, very important to me that I get that engineering degree. Because I've told everybody I'm going to be an engineer.
Should we take a vote on that? Is there anybody here who would suppose that that college was going to grant that man an engineering degree? And how would you like to drive across the bridge that he designed? Of course not. Now, in the church, there are many electives. You can become involved in as many of them as your talents and interests and time allow. You can sing in the choir. You can be an usher. You can work in the nursery. You can help with the youth. You can do 100 different things. They're electives. But, dear friends, the Great Commission is not an elective. Nobody's commanded to do any of those things which I just mentioned a moment ago. They're all good. They're all needed. They're all proper. They're all wonderful. But they're not necessary for graduation. But the central command is, it's repeated in many different ways, we are to be salt and light. Salt in that we keep the culture from utterly corrupting, light in that we bring into the darkness of men's mind the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. We're told to seek first the kingdom of God. How do we do that? By fulfilling the cultural mandate and the Great Commission. That's exactly how the founding fathers did it. And so we are to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ here on earth while we're here, and then in heaven forever. It's amazing how many people don't take the long look at life. Little Johnny was 12 years old, and he lived right near the ocean. And his great joy was to play on the beach and the water in the summer. And one Saturday morning, he decided to build the greatest castle in the sand that had ever been built. He worked for 5 or 6 hours without even thinking about lunch or the fact that the sun was westering. And since he was facing the castle, he didn't notice that the tide was coming in until the waves got bigger and closer, and at length one particularly large one crashed right behind his ankles over the moat, leveling the walls and turning his castles and spires into a big puddle of sand. And he stood with water and sand dripping from his hands, looking at his life's work, almost in utter dismay. And we say, what a foolish little kid. I mean, didn't he know the tides came in and out? Was he that stupid? Well, before we too harshly condemn him, we are adults for the most part here. Do we not know that the tide is coming in? Do we not know that the crashing wave of God's judgment is soon going to come upon every one of us? Have you been building in nothing but sand? 1,000 years from now, what will what you have done in this life amount to? 1,000,000 years? 100 years? For most people, it would be nothing. You have wasted your life because you have had your own autonomous purposes and you have not yielded yourself to the purpose of God for your life. When we realize that we have failed to do what God put us on this earth to do, we realize the results of that. Not only has the magnificent patrimony that has been given to us by the founders, a godly Christian nation, been allowed to slip through our fingers like sand and become this godless monstrosity that we see around us today, but in more than that, innumerable millions of souls in America have and are and will perish eternally because the church has failed to heed the purpose for which it was created. What do we do? My friends, the answer is very simple. The word is singular. It is simply this: repent. That's the first thing that Jesus said when he began his ministry. Repent. He had had all eternity to think about what he would say to the human race when he finally got here. And he came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Great Commission is not an elective. And without the core course, no one graduates from God's college. To willfully disobey the commandment of the commander-in-chief is rank insubordination and results inevitably in a court-martial. On a ship, it is mutiny. There was a time when you would have walked the plank. That was their garbage heap, the ocean. Dear friend, what is your purpose for life? We are to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. Everything is to be brought into that great purpose. We all came into these parts of America in 1999 to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know how to witness, be here Wednesday morning or Thursday night. I'll teach you how. You have no excuse. But I hope I have been very clear that when a life is unexamined and the purposes that God had for making us in the first place are ignored, denied, refused, there can only be one outcome. Ah, but dear friend, if they are obeyed, the results can be glorious. And this nation could be revived. And we could see righteousness again prevail in America as millions of people came to know the wonder of the Savior and their lives were changed. Can you imagine how different this country would be if suddenly those founders who met together in New England to sign that confederation were suddenly multiplied into 200 and some million people, and they all could say, we have come into these parts of America for one and the same end and aim: to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it be. May it be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, forgive us for our sins, for they are so many. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us a heart that delights to please thee, to do your will, to fulfill your purpose for this world, and to bring glory to your name. For Christ's sake, amen.
What is the purpose of your life? I hope it's to glorify God and to tell others about Him. But you can't do either of those if you don't know Him as your Savior and Lord, do you? If not, I urge you to pray with me and ask Jesus Christ to work out His purpose for your life. If you'll do that, He'll give you joy and peace in this life and for all eternity. And He'll show you your purpose for living. Pray with me right now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I want to know Your purpose for my life. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins and ask You to come into my life. I accept the free gift of eternal life that You came to give and place my trust in You from this day forward. In Your name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, then this is what Jesus Christ says. Whoever believes in Me has everlasting life. Welcome to the family of God. To help you grow in your new faith, we have a special gift for you. It's Beginning Again, the book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers. And that's exactly what you're doing, beginning again. So ask for your copy today by writing to our address or calling our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
There is literally nothing more important than discovering God's purpose for your life. And Dr. Kennedy just shared in a powerful way what our lives are in fact all about. Maybe you know someone casting about for direction. Maybe there's someone in your life who needs to focus on their purpose. You can get a DVD or CD copy of today's program to share with them as our thanks for your generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 888-332-3069. Or go online to djkm.org. By doing so, you'll be helping us continue our work of standing for truth and defending your freedoms. Thank you for standing with us. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Does the Bible teach socialism? What would you say to those who claim it does? You'll find the answers in the booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism? From the new Truth in Action Question and Answer Series. This 8-page booklet lays out the arguments on both sides in a clear and concise way. It gives you the biblical talking points to be able to answer those who claim the Bible mandates socialism. To get your copy, please call, write, or go online. And be sure to include a generous donation towards the ongoing work of this ministry. And we'll send you the new Truth in Action Q&A booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism?
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.